Recorded live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest.
Hey everybody, this is Rudy Sarzo from the cast crew, and I give you the right to rock.
Without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal they brush their teeth with steel wool. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Hey everybody, this is Rudy Sarzo from the Guess Who, and you're listening to Genghis and Ragman, and horns up.
Guys, you're on live with Ragman, mano y mano, with a bass legend, Mr. Rudy Sarzo from the Guess Who. Rudy, how you doing?
I'm terrific. How you doing? Mano a mano. You know what that means, right?
Man to man, my friend.
Okay, that's right. Well, yeah, mano a mano, yeah, exactly. Love it.
Rudy, great to talk to you again. It's been, like we talked about here just a second ago, been about 6 years since we've talked to you when you were doing the Any Metal. And, hey, yes. Welcome back, yes. Man.
Well, great to be back.
What
that's interesting because when I was doing Any Metal, I was a character. I was a character and called Stormbringer. But now I am back as me being myself. So it's great to be back.
Whatever happened to Any Metal? Because you guys had made a big push in Japan. You guys were like the Beatles, if I remember correctly. Or y'all were really big.
Yeah, I thought it was more like the Monkees. Not as big as the Beatles, just the Monkees, you know, with Any Metal, it's interesting because it seems to be cyclical. There was a version prior to us, which was a purely Japanese version of the band, and then ours was branded as Any Metal USA. And then we had two number one debut albums on the Japanese charts, which is not import, it's actually domestic charts, which is pretty big. And we did at least one big tour. We did some other shows, and then it kind of like basically ran its course. Yeah, the Japanese market has a really fast turnover of music.
Oh, okay. I could see that. I could see that. I love going over there. It's like being a kid in the candy store.
Yeah, no, it's one of my favorite countries in the world to tour and just to visit. And but since I also in the anime kind of like spirit, I also did two records. For Disney, they were like Disney versions of heavy metal versions of Disney songs.
Oh, wow.
So that kind of like continued, but it was not. It was Disney metal. It wasn't anime, anime metal, anything like that.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. What was that project called?
Yeah. D metal. D as in Disney metal. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That one did very, very, very well. Also, yeah.
Awesome. Well, Rudy, let's talk about the Guess Who. That's who you're playing with now. Tell me how you got involved. I don't know if you know the guys for a long time or how you got involved with the Guess Who.
Well, I grew up playing and listening to the music back, in my high school years and stuff. And, when I was in party bands. And so I was very familiar with the material. When I actually got a call from Derek Sharp, our lead singer and composer, guitar player of the band, and he happens to be Seth Jordan's husband.
Oh, really?
And, so I had just a couple of years ago, actually 4 years ago, I was doing a Jeff Tate version of Queensryche, and Seth was on tour with us. We were doing the Operation Mindcrime record, and so Seth played the part of Mary, Sister Mary, and we spent a few months on the road together, and we became really great friends. And so when it came time to find a substitute basis for founding member Jim Cale, Sass suggested, "Hey Derek, why don't you call Rudy?" And so by the time then I got the call, and first thing I said, sure, I would love to do it. I love the music, and it's part of the soundtrack of my youth, And so then I started doing subbing, and a little while after that, Jim Cale decides to basically retire. So he actually passed me the torch on stage at a show in Vegas that I was just visiting, coming over to watch the band. And he brought me on stage and told the crowd that from this point on, Rudy's going to be taking over. And that was wonderful. Nobody has ever done that for me before, So that was really a wonderful moment. And so we still have our founding member drummer, Gary Peterson, which is a total joy to be playing bass with the original drummer on all those records. Every time I close my eyes and we're doing like these eyes, I'm like, oh my God, it's exactly the same drum part that was on the record. Because, nobody plays those songs like Gary does. Forget about it.
Nice. Well, I find it kind of interesting because it seems like the Guess Who's kind of in like a Foreigner type mold where there's one guy left, where Mick Jones, of course, being with Foreigner, and you guys are carrying on with Gary. And then you've got some guys that have been around the industry for a while. I think it's pretty cool. And I got to tell you, as we were talking, I saw the video for Playing on the Radio, which is a really good, catchy, awesome song, and was really impressed with Derek Sharp. I was like, man, who is this guy, and how have I not heard from him before?
Well, the rest of the guys have been in the band for decades. Derek is going for, I believe it's 12th year now in the band. Leonard Shaw, who's also our keyboardist and saxophone player, he's been in the band for over 20 years now. And of course, you got Gary, who's been in the band even before Burton Cummings joined the band. You know, he was in the original version when they recorded "Shaking All Over," you know. And then you have Will Ivankovich, who is also a co-producer in the band along with Derek Sharp and co-writer of the record, of our record, the Guess Who, who is also a producer in his own right. He just recently produced the new Styx record, The Mission, along with Tommy Shaw, and he co-wrote the song with Tommy Shaw.
Oh, nice.
So it's a really, really talented bunch of guys, incredibly. I mean, everybody has a music degree.
Well, I was going to ask you, when you guys got together and decided to do a new studio record, what was the thought behind, you know, musically, what y'all were going to do? Was it y'all all riffing on ideas, or did y'all come in with finished ideas? And did you say, I want to do the classic sound, but with more of a modern kind of edge to it?
Yes, because I've had this conversation with the guys, because I just joined the band officially about a year and a half ago, and the record was started over 2 years ago. And what happens is, it was a very organic process, because both Will Ivankovich and Derek, they're producers and songwriters, so the band did not have to go outside to get a producer, engineer to work on the record. It was all built in. And they've had all these songs that they've been writing all along. And instead of giving them to other bands or artists to record, they say, you know what? Why don't we just ask the guests to go in and make this record for us? You know, so it was a very organic process that started originally with Jim Cale as the bass player in the band. And then the first sub for Jim Cale was actually Michael Devin, who is the current bass player for Whitesnake. And then I started subbing after that. So it started off with Jim Cale playing bass, and then Michael came in, did some more tracking, and then I finished off the record.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. Well, you know what's kind of interesting with the sound, because it has a lot of elements from the classic Guess Who sound, but also with some modern stuff, and I keep going back to playing on the radio, but that one is just, it's just got that powerful chorus that sounds really, you know, fresh, and then you, like I said, in some of the verses and so forth, you get more of that classic, the Guess Who sound.
That was the goal of making this record, is to make it sound like a classic Guess Who record, with a nod to the future direction of the band. You know, so as a matter of fact, we just started doing a new set list that includes four songs from the new record. And they come in seamlessly with all the other hits that, you know, that the band is known for. So it works beautifully. We're doing, we start off with the opening track of the record, When We Were Young, And then in a little bit of, like in the middle of the set, we do Haunted. And then we follow it up after that with playing on the radio. And then for the encore, we do three songs. We do In America, and then we go into These Eyes and No Time. So the material just fits in beautifully. The new material fits in beautifully with all the classics.
That's awesome, because if I got the opportunity to see you guys, if y'all came down to Texas where I'm at, I would want to see the new Houston.
We're gonna be we have some bookings for outside of Dallas and Austin in December.
Oh, okay. Have y'all completed your bookings? Or you think you'd make it down a little bit further south to Houston, or is Austin about?
If not in December, we'll be back in January, February, because right now our calendar is getting booked for next year heavily, heavily, heavily.
That's awesome.
So we'll definitely make Houston. I mean, Houston is one of my favorite cities. As a matter of fact, I played there in Houston with the Guest Who about a year and a half ago. It's the theater in the round, you know, the one that's got that stage.
Oh, yeah, the arena.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, yeah.
That is a cool place for a show. Actually, I'm trying to remember. You were part of Quiet Riot when they did the Rock Never Stops tour, didn't you? Back in the...
Yes, we did. We played. That was the first time I played here.
Yeah, and I saw you, man. I saw you at that theater in the round. That was an awesome show, man.
Yeah, I love that. Because nobody gets a bad seat. It's just like they're all good seats, you know. It keeps turning around here.
Exactly. That's funny. Well, another song I wanted to bring up, and you just mentioned it, was When We Were Young. And I love the way it starts the record. And again, it's one of those ones like talking on the radio that kind of fuses the old with the new. And really cool track, man.
We open up the other show with that. It sets the pace really nicely.
And another one I want to bring up is Talks All the Time, which is kind of a ballad in the beginning, and it gets a little heavier, and it almost kind of has a little bit of a Zeppelin feel to it, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, it does. I think it's more has to do with a little percussion that goes on through the acoustic intro. Yeah, it's a little nod to our influences. Why not?
There you go. Well, it's a very cool track, man. Very cool. Well, let me ask you this. How are y'all on tour now? And if so, how is the new tunes being received?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, because we do a lot of meet and greets after the show, and people ask us, because we do introduce the songs as from the new record, but sometimes people just don't get it, you know? And so they ask us, hey, is that a song? What old the Guess Who album is that song from? I said, no, that's one of the new songs.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. And another one you mentioned up that's in your set as well. I guess I picked out my favorites from your set list, and I didn't even know your set list was In America, which is another really good up-tempo, strong song. You said that you weren't really involved in a lot of the writing. It was more Derek Sharp and one of the other guys in the band.
Will Ivankovich. Yeah.
And you got
because I wasn't in the band at the time.
Right. Well, what's the plan going forward after you guys do the tour? It sounds like the record's being received well, or you wouldn't be booking so many dates. So is this something that they want to continue on with for a while? Or?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we're already talking about ideas for the next record.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Well, what else do you got going?
You know,
go ahead.
When you have a production team that is already part of the band, it's easier because you don't have to go outside of our band, you know, for the creative aspect of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge part because there's some other bands that are older that, you know, kind of a situation like the Guess Who or Foreigner where, you know, there's a couple original guys left. And the material's not as strong. I don't know if they go to outside writers, but you kind of listen to it and you're like, eh, okay, that's what it was. But, you know, from the beginning, when I started listening to this new Guess Who, I was like, wow, I am pleasantly surprised. This is really cool that the music is so strong. So it sounds like they spent a lot of time crafting these songs, and they came up with a nice batch for sure.
Yes, and that's a really keen observation on your part because a lot of time has been spent making demos, improving the tracks, you know, getting the... It's more about the feel, which is what Derek and Will... I mean, you know, one thing is to write the song because basically you just write a song on an acoustic guitar. But then, once if you're going to make it feel like it's the Guess Who song, then you must work with Gary Peterson, the drummer. You know, and it's got to be that real deal feel beat, you know, the heartbeat of the song, you know, and that has been really carefully crafted.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I'm not going to mention the artist, but there was another artist from, I would say, maybe early, mid-70s, and they put something out. I was kind of excited because, you know, you like the classics, and it just didn't hit the mark for me. You know, I'm sure maybe some other harder core guys really loved it, but it just wasn't my thing because, A, the songwriting was just not there for me. And, you know, you got to have a really good, strong melody. And, you know, most of your studio records are going to have good playing and so forth, but just wasn't there. It's all about the song.
You know, it's really interesting that you mentioned that because, let's say in the case of Will Ivankovich, he was born in the 70s, like early 70s, but he was raised with classic rock. So his references
are all
classic rock, which is one of the reasons why he works so much. He's a main collaborator with Tommy Shaw, and when they went in to record the new Six record, you know, it was, you know, Will and Tommy told the guys in the band, listen, we're going back to the original 70s Six sound. So it that is something that seems to be very natural for Will to be that his environment of that type of, you know, bringing in that classic 70s. Which, personally, is my favorite era of all the records that I have in my collection.
That, you know what? I had a renaissance about 5 years ago, or it may have been a little bit longer now, where I just got into classic Stone, Zeppelin, Humble Pie, a lot of bands that, you know, growing up in the early 80s, I mean, you had Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Dio, you had all that metal in your face, and then I guess the older you get, you can go back and really appreciate what preceded what turned into heavy metal in the 80s and, you know, so on. So
yeah,
it's really cool.
Well, you know, I think what happened was that in the 70s technology was limited. I know this because I started recording in the late 70s with the Randy Rhoads version of Quiet Riot. We would go into the record plant and other studios in Los Angeles, and basically you had like a reverb chamber that was just like a room for reverb. And that was like, you know, that was around since the 50s, you know, that type of technology. But you don't have the technology that you have today, you know, and especially when the 80s, they started going into digital, like early, like small bits, 8-bit outboard gear that just make, it didn't have the big, warm sound that was, you know, familiar to the 70s recordings. And to me, that's what makes all of classic rock timeless. It's that it's very pure in its tones.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%, man. And it, like I said, you guys really achieved it with this record, the sound, the production. It's really spot on, man. And I think you guys are going to get a little bit of life out of this thing, which is kind of rare in the way the music industry is today.
I know. But, you know, I mean, when I heard the record, I said, well, if people get to hear this, I think that they're really going to enjoy it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll definitely support it over here at The Right to Rock, that's for sure, man.
Well, thank you so much, Ratman. Thank you so much, Ratman. Yeah, we need all the help we can get, especially nowadays. You know,
exactly.
With very limited radio exposure, yeah.
Well, what else you got going, Rudy? I know you're a man of many talents. I know you do the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp stuff, and you do some side projects here and there. Do you got anything else cooking, or is the Guess Who kind of taking up the majority of your time?
This is it. I mean, once I became an official member of the band, that this has been my priority for the last year and a half. I mean, I've done projects here and there, but they're just mainly projects. You know, nothing that I'm committing beyond laying down bass tracks, basically.
Well, yeah. I do have a petition that I'm going to start to get a second Project Driver record going with the original lineup, because that was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why that record became a project rather than a band was because, you know, we were produced by Mike Varney, who had his own label, Shrapnel Records. But the goal of that record was to get a major record company record deal, you know, not with an independent such as Mike Varney's label, Shrapnel, but, you know, with a regular big time label, you know. And so half, if you listen to it, half the record is very safe, and then the other half is kind of like prog rock.
Yeah.
So it falls into the category of not really a prog rock shredder record, and not really a safe, you know, radio-friendly record either. So it was a very unique experience to approach it, because every song was handpicked. There was a purpose for every song on that album.
Oh, wow. Dude, I would love to hear if you guys could ever do something again. That's one of my favorites, believe it or not.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, we spent a lot of time working on it, and it was such a pleasure not only to play with Tommy Aldridge and Rob Rock, but with the incredibly talented Tony McAlpine. I mean, what an experience playing with him. It's unbelievable.
Oh yeah, and he's still a monster today. I was thinking, with an updated, really good production, what you guys could do, even if it was a little side thing, maybe Frontiers would offer you something. I'm putting it out there. I'm just putting it out there. That would be pretty awesome.
Okay. Put it out there. But I mean, but right now I'm just having such, you know, great time with the guests. Anyway, I mean, you know, a band is only as good as its people. And they're such wonderful friends and, you know, bandmates. And the music is so wonderful. I mean, 17 hits in their catalog, you know. So it's really a blessing. Really a blessing to go on stage and to be in their company.
Yeah, that is totally awesome. And before that, I mean, you were doing some touring with BOC, which, I mean, they're no slouches either. And, actually, I was going to come see you, and my wife got sick, and I unfortunately had to cancel. I was kind of bummed about that several years ago. But do you keep up with those guys at all, or?
Oh yeah, once in a while, for sure. I mean, I had a great time playing with them, and they're wonderful people, and what a legacy the Bullers are called. Oh my God, so much fun to play those songs.
Yeah. Well, you keep getting these classic bands, which is awesome, because we get more Rudy Sarzo for sure. Last question. I loved Off the Rails. Have you thought about ever doing a second book?
It's a coloring book. It's coming up.
Gotcha, man. Gotcha.
I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, the only reason why I spent a year and a half out of my life, you know, writing that book was for my friend Randy Rhodes. I mean, you know, he's responsible for my career, and, you know, he's the one who told Ozzy and Sharon about me and trusted me to bring me in, and I don't know if you read the book, but you know, there's a chapter about the plane crash, and I feel that he was responsible from keeping the plane from crashing completely, totally into the bus, because it clipped the bus, but it didn't crash into the bus, you know, and it saved our lives, you know. So the least I could do was write a book and explain how, why, and, you know, everything. When did it happen and all these series of events that led to it.
Yeah, and it was a really good book, Rudy. I really enjoyed reading that. Actually, I was thinking about the other day because I was like, damn, I hadn't read that book in a long time, so I'll probably pick up on a few extra things that I missed the first time, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, the greatest gift I've gotten from writing the book is not necessarily a closure, because I've never, you know, you never forget, you know, what an incredible experience it was to be with Randy, but it was kind of like a finality to it. Something that I was able to get off my shoulders for 20 years that I had been carrying by the time I wrote the book. So there was a certain peace of mind element. So now it's on paper and I can share this with the world. Randy's story.
Well, as a fan, we thank you, because that was really well written and really, man, I was hooked when I was reading it. I know that for sure.
Yeah, it was incredibly emotional. I mean, even to think about it, you know. But I'm just glad that I was able to share it, you know, with everybody.
Well, very good. Well, I keep saying this last question, but are you doing any more with the Dio Disciples? Or you've answered that question. You're dedicated solely to the Guess Who at this moment.
Yeah, with Dio Disciples, I did a tour. I think it was the first Dio Disciples tour. And then from that point on, I have not been involved with that anymore. This is like before Any Metal USA. Like way, way before that, and that's about it. I mean, I'm a big fan of what they're doing, keeping Ronnie's legacy alive. I did a side project about a year ago that now is coming out on Frontiers. It's called Dream Child, and I played on the whole record with Craig Goldie and Simon Wright. So it's like, you know, three guys from Dio. And the record turned out really, really awesome. It's on Frontiers. It's called Dream Child.
You know what? We just talked to Craig about that record, and I want to congratulate you about that as well. That was my next comment, because that really came out well, and I like Craig really kind of went into kind of what the thought was behind doing that record. It was more of a Rainbow type thing than, you know, really a Dio thing, and it came off really well.
Yeah, I'm really happy for Craig, because he is he's the captain of that project. And I have all the respect and I love Craig as a friend and former bandmate with Dio. So I came in to do the record as a special guest, because he knew and the label knew that I was, I have a commitment to the Guess Who. So I just came in as a special guest. But then I got to play on the whole record, and it was, you know, I'm very satisfied with the outcome.
Yeah, it came out really well, really well. Congratulations on that as well.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, Rudy, before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Yeah, whenever we play in your area, is this mainly for Houston or other territories?
Oh, just anywhere. We're heard nationwide,
anyway,
my friend.
Well, if you hear my voice and we're playing, and if the Guess Who is playing in town, come on down and you're going to have the time of your life with your clothes on.
I got you. One last thing. Do you keep up with the Quiet Riot guys, Frankie, and have you heard their last release?
My wife and I, we were just over at Frankie's house. We had dinner with him and his wife, Regina, and We had a great time. Yeah. They're both really great cooks, by the way.
Oh, nice.
And we're neighbors. We're like maybe 10 minutes away from each other. So I see Frankie frequently, and I'm really supportive of everything he's doing, you know, to keep the Quiet Riot torch fired up, going out there and doing it so well. You know, I mean, the band sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I saw them about a year ago, and they were really, really good. Do you keep up with Carlos at all, or?
Did you sing with James?
Yeah, with Durbin. He did a really nice job.
Yeah, great. Fantastic. Carlos, you know, whenever I see him, we run into each other at events, you know.
Yeah, it was kind of a bummer to hear what happened with him and Rat. That sounds like a little bit of a train wreck. But Rudy, as always, it's an honor to talk to you. You are a metal legend, bass legend in the heavy metal hard rock community, and we want to thank you for coming on the righttorock.com, the Genghis Ragman show, and we want to tell all the fans to go out and get the Guess Who's brand new record, The Future Is What It Used to Be, out on Cleopatra. Rudy, an honor, my friend. An honor.
Ragman, always a pleasure. Looking forward to our next time.
Ragman, and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X. Adam and Joseph have lent us 13 to finish the show, so what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out. And keep checking us out. And horns up.